back on Afternoon Drive. We got Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. More on the way. Some reaction on the RBF in just a moment here, but Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. I don't think I can read that yet. I'll get to that later. Start your game day with Earl the Pearl from 7 to 9 a.m. The Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with JP and Spencer German starting at 9 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Darrell Ryder joins us with the latest from the stadium as well. Make the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan, presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, and Sal's Heating and Cooling, Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. So you and I were talking about RBF and the fact you just realized you had it.
Yeah, resting bee face.
Bob said, I never smile. I didn't know there was a name for it. I just always thought I was an a-hole. Yeah, it is. Yeah. I will say that is one way to describe it, although your and my personalities then kind of offset it because we're like lovable ones.
I don't think we're jerks. I just didn't know. I didn't know that was the impression.
I can be. I can be cruel and I can be kind of petty and kind of mean sometimes.
I think you have a good heart and people know that though.
Yeah, but I, especially in a professional sense, like sometimes we talked about this before the show today. Sometimes I'm downright mean to other people. Like I sometimes take shots I shouldn't at the morning show. I know that. I'm working on it. I'm just not a finished product.
Are you working on it?
Yeah, I'm working at getting better at taking those shots.
I was going to say, making the ones that you take really count.
I didn't want to try to high road anybody.
I didn't think you were trying to limit yourself on it, but I didn't know what direction you were going.
I'm trying to take the restraints off me. No.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I like my family.
Some birds can't be caged, Nick.
It's like, what's wild about this is, if you asked anybody outside of here, I'm not the smiley one. Like, I'm just not.
Yeah, I never thought I walked around looking like legitimately the Walmart smiley face logo. Like, I never thought that was me. But I didn't know it was that.
But in my family, I am on my mom's side, I am the smiley one. Because they're a bunch of Eastern European Jags.
Okay.
Like, no one smiles. Maybe my cousin Glenna smiles.
Is this a heritage thing? Can I trace this back to a heritage thing for myself?
I think so. Well, what's your heritage?
Croatian is the biggest thing I am.
I'll give it to you.
I'm also Irish. That doesn't fit.
I'm also a little Irish as well. So
okay.
That, you know, maybe there's a little bit of that. I think Irish people are supposed to be smiley though, right?
No idea.
Stereotype? I don't know. That's neither here nor there.
Tipsy maybe.
But that I am.
That makes people happy.
Yeah. Got to drink a lot, but I will get there. I think you and I got into a show pre-show, speaking of pre-show conversations, about the Browns. And I think this is a big thing after yesterday's win. Because one of the reasons why I was so steadfast, until proven otherwise, it's one game, is whether you want it to or not, I don't think yesterday, well, I guess now, 2 days ago, I don't think Sunday is going to stop the Browns if there's a fire sale to be had of having that fire sale.
I don't know if I agree.
Show your work. Is that a thing?
I thought a lot about this, and I was thinking a lot about like GMs and what you're actually being a GM for and all the leashes that you think you have and all this, the long leash you think you have and everything attached to it, right? I don't know. If I'm the Browns, from the GM down to the head coach down to everyone in between, I think you got to get as many wins as you possibly can. I think you're in self-preservation mode. I think you're trying to show to everyone that you can get the wins. I think a four-win season, you are jeopardizing the idea that you'll even have a job. And so why are they going to get the house in order for somebody else than to be in a good spot? I don't think they're going to look at it that way.
I think you're putting Stefanski and Barry in the same bucket. They're not. Kevin's job.
Oh, I look at them like they're in the same bucket. I think that's a fair assessment of what I'm saying.
I think Kevin knows he's got to get to 7 wins. If you go from 1-6 to 7-10, that's enough winning to look at Haslam and say, see, it was all Deshaun, good feelings back, bad feelings gone. That's not how GMs are graded. GMs are graded in the ability to take a definitive stance ahead of the trade deadline.
Yeah, but in the process, a lot of his players end up looking better if they start winning games.
Yeah, but you're not trading those
Cedric
guys.
Tillman, for instance, starts looking better. What we judge these guys on does matter.
You know, yes, but you're not trading those guys. Those guys were never who we're going to trade. But if you can say, well, Cedric Tillman looked better, and, oh, by the way, Za'Darius Smith got us a third-round pick, that's what GMs are graded
on. Now, I think this is a different situation, too, though, because you got to look at the idea, and then Deshaun Watson makes this a one-of-one scenario, but you got to be able to tell Jimmy Haslam. That's really all you're speaking to. You're not speaking to me or you or anyone in between. You're speaking to Jimmy Haslam. At the end of it, Stefanski and Barry have the same cell. Was it all Deshaun Watson's problem? Did we do our job well enough that absent of Deshaun Watson, we could have won. If you gave us a different quarterback, not named Deshaun, we could have won. I did a good enough job, all the pieces, offense, defense, special teams, everything in between. And that's why I think you got to win games.
See, but that's the only thing. Well, okay, I guess the offense is another thing that Kevin can sell, even though he's no longer the play caller. He can say, look, we fixed it without Deshaun. Andrew has a card to play. GMs play this all the time. Yep, we realized it was a lost season, and we traded Za'Darius and every other one-year player or guy with 1.5 years left like Greg Newsome, and look at the 5 draft picks I got that now go into the war chest for this year to help reset this thing.
I think he'd be getting the house in order for somebody else to take over the house.
I think Andrew's super smart to know that Kevin's in far more danger than he is. And I hate having this because they just won, so I hate pointing this out. GMs usually get 2 or 3 head coaches.
I just think we're looking at this in a different way. I think you're looking at it like the head coach is going to be treated different than the GM. I look at it like I think it's an all or nothing thing. I really do. I think either they both go or they're both here. I don't see them being separated.
I think Jimmy. Okay, I'm now acting like I know what Jimmy's thinking or that Jimmy
learned
anything.
That's what makes this tough. Is that we're all just speaking to a guy that historically goes pretty unhinged when it comes to his decision making.
But like, if you are Andrew Berry, the best thing for Andrew Berry, I think if Jimmy's learned anything, it is trying to find the GM and the head coach at the same time is a nightmare. It really is. And that sometimes the way teams are operating now, even impetuous owners are going, all right, I like the GM. I talk to the GM more. I'm going to give that guy multiple head coaches. Head coaches really don't have that.
Yeah, having the same timeline is nice, too. It's like when Andy Reid and John Dorsey got hired together in Kansas City. They were hired within 3 weeks of each other.
And then John Dorsey blew himself up, and Andy Reid had proved
after
himself
indispensable. After drafting Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, and Travis Kelce, he did a good job.
Yeah, but that's not why he got fired. Like, there were things that he couldn't do.
They liked the same timeline thing, and I thought it really was. It was working until Dorsey went full Dorsey, which is what he does.
But I think that's
the same thing here.
I think that's the point. If you have one part of the equation you feel better about, but what's wild about this is winning is what's best for Kevin. Andrew probably is looking at this and going, well, winning's great, and we're going to keep the locker room if we keep winning. But man, I got to tell you, the farther we get away from a top 5 pick, the harder it is for me to keep my job long term.
I think he's got to look at it like self-preservation. I think he's got to look at it like, I need as many wins as I possibly can. I think the team as a whole needs to look as good as they possibly can. And I think then you pick up the pieces where they end up falling at the end of the season. If that means you're drafting 17th because you won a bunch of games, you'll worry about that when you get there. You just got to win enough games.
Yeah, but I think self-preservation for a GM is different than a head coach. Like, you... Everything in every job is about what you can sell and what you can't, right? I've got to be able to sell them that I can get ratings. You've got to be able to sell them at nights, hey, look at what I've built. Look at what I continue to build.
Yeah.
Right? But you and I are selling different things because our time slots are just a little different, right? Well, that's kind of with Kevin.
Well, but the way you're phrasing it, though, makes it seem like they would have already made up their mind on Andrew Berry, and there's nothing that Andrew Berry can prove or disprove now.
No. I think it's just Andrew's more of a sure thing. I think it's more Kevin has to prove more.
Barry's a sure thing?
Yeah, I don't think they feel the way about Andrew the way that I think fans feel about Andrew.
I don't know that they look at him as a sure thing.
I think you might like him.
I don't know that they look at him that way.
No, I view Andrew and Kevin in the same bucket of there's some good, there's some bad. I could take or leave either one of them at any given moment. Like, you could, at any given point, you can sell me who should stay and who should go, and it might be different depending on how you sell it.
Okay.
That's where I am with both of them. But I'm thinking about how the NFL operates, how this has changed. It's kind of the same in baseball, too, where, like guys running bad teams get, like, 3 managers now. Whether they deserve it or not, because owners realize the most dangerous change you can have with the power that front offices have now is to change that. Because when you're changing theories about drafting and team building and all that, there's a lot of risk involved versus changing out the head coach, which is completely switched of how it felt 25 years ago.
I just think I wouldn't look at every GM as the same. And so I think, for instance, Antonetti and Chernoff are in a much different spot than a lot of baseball managers out there. They've been there for 20 years. They're going to be there for another 20 years. Like, they can make the type of moves. They could trade for a ball of yarn at the deadline and no one's going to question anything about it and say, okay, yeah, if that's what they want to win a couple years from now, then that's what they need to do. Whereas I just don't look at it the same way with Andrew Berry. I think the moves he'd be making today, if they go ahead and decide to sell everything everything and trade everything and then tank and go for the draft pick, I don't know that he's going to be able to see those through as being his draft picks then moving forward.
Neither he nor Kevin will ever frame doing anything but trying to winning as tanking. There's a wide gap between trying to win and winning being the first and foremost thing that matters and tanking. There are levels to this. So I don't think you're ever going to hear them ever say or even allude to anybody, we're tanking the rest of the way, right? Like if that's what happens, I don't think it will. But if that's what happens, that is going to be like nuclear codes. Like that is going to be on the down low, right. The down lowest
right.
of lows.
Right. They're but not saying asked, it. We're talking about
but
it.
But you asked in the pre-show, who in that building is playing for next year? You're right to say it's not Kevin. But if Andrew Berry is being really honest, it's a lot easier to sell Andrew Berry as the end-all be-all if I got five draft picks for guys in this roster, and if they lose just enough to get a top five pick, so then I can say, either I have a top five pick, let's go get a veteran quarterback to really blow this thing up like a Matt Stafford, or, hey, there's a quarterback here. Guys, we're a quarterback away. I think, look at the core. Look at Cedric Tillman. Look at Miles.
Look at Cedric Tillman was the thing you couldn't say 2 weeks ago.
Well, yeah, but that's what the next nine games about.
Well, but that's why winning is in part of that. That's making those guys look as good as they possibly can.
Being competitive is good for Andrew Berry, but winning is not. Whereas winning and being competitive,
he spent more money
Kevin.
Than any other team in football in the previous 2 years. Like I understand that. Listen, Haslam's not an idiot. Haslam knows the same things we know when it comes to how important the quarterback was towards the success or not success. But I think you got to show some people some things.
But you can just flush it now. Hey,
I don't think Andrew Berry is going to be able to do that.
I think they've done it for 5 or 7 years now. Like, think of the money.
I'm trying to come up with the argument if I'm Andrew Berry. Like, at the end of the season, the argument I would make is how I haven't had many first-round picks. Like, you can criticize the drafting, but I haven't had many first-round picks. And I'm trying to untangle it from there. If it was me trying to make the big speech, and I just think there's still too much that is left to be written there.
The argument is doing what these guys have done with everybody else. Ah, Baker ain't it. We love Baker. Great guy. Not a $50 million quarterback. Baker ain't it. Ah, if Joe Woods, if we just had a different defensive coordinator, our defense would have been better.
I think it's
never
interesting.
Never mind Jordan Elliott was a bust. Yeah. Never mind any of these other guys were a bust. That's what they're going to do. If they lose, that's what they're going to do because that's how you survive in the NFL.
Right, but I don't think they're going to survive that. I think it's the pitch. It's the sales pitch. I don't think they survive that.
And I think how Andrew survives it, I really want to, because this is a very...
You win three games and I don't think you survive it.
Yeah, I don't think both survive it. And I think it becomes survival of the fittest, and the fittest guy is the guy who they brought back. Yes, they might have hired Kevin in 2015 or 2019 when they hired Freddie Joe Kitchens. But
is that his middle name?
I'm just making fun of him for being a fat.
I mean, I know his middle name. Baker Reagan Mayfield. Thomas Edward
Joe
Patrick
just
Brady.
He felt like he should have a Joe in the middle of his name because he's okay. A bit of a rube. But they you liked Kevin Stefanski in 2019. Andrew was part of this front office. He left because of John Dorsey, and you specifically brought him back. He was crucial in the way this thing went together. I think he is safer, and I think his path forward is, hey, this is what I did this season when it all went to pot, and here's how I've set you up for next year, and here's what I'm going to do with it.
I look at him in the same boat. It's interesting that we have a divide here in this because I look at him in the same boat. It's 5 years, one playoff win.
216-474-0092. I would be surprised if Jimmy looked at them the same way. I bet you Jimmy has a favorite. It's like kids. I bet you Jimmy has a favorite. Should the Browns continue trying to win? Jim and Josh, you guys stick there. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. And so you and I don't agree on how Kevin keeps his job versus how Andrew keeps his job.
Yeah.
Kevin, it's just win enough games, dummy. With Andrew, it's like a choose your own adventure. Winning helps, but having, whether it's draft picks, whether it's a planet quarterback that's salient. Those are the way that the GM keeps his job. We also don't even agree on the idea that the GM is usually safer than the head coach. In fairness, I'm making a generality, but I do think it's the case here. I think what's interesting is if we then apply it to the deadline, because I think 100% they should still be sellers.
Yeah, and if I'm looking at it from my approach of I believe Andrew Berry still has to show more, and I still think he's got to prove a little bit more. I don't know how he just sells everything. I don't. I think he's got to make a push here. I think he's got to show Haslam that not only the team he constructed could win. Like, his get-out-of-jail-free card is the Deshaun Watson part of this. I think he's got to try to use it, but then he's got to show, like we talked about with Cedric Tillman, that, like, some of the guys he's drafted are good. Like, there's some things he can kind of show the Haslams with just playing good football.
So is that all, like, do you think that changed because of the win on Baltimore, or did you feel this way at 1-6?
Oh, yeah, I think it helped, for sure. Yeah. I mean, how could it not?
I don't think Sunday changed anything in that regard.
I know. I feel, and maybe I'm reading this wrong, but I feel like it was almost like before the season even got underway, it didn't matter what happened. Andrew Berry his fate was already decided for the next year.
No, but I think once you got to 1-6, I think it became clear the best path forward, the smartest thing. Because listen, there's a reason it's a cliche in the NFL. Listen, I don't care about 6th-round picks. I just don't. I don't care. Oh, you traded this guy who's not going to be here next year for a 5th-round pick. But you know who does? Owners and other executives. And this is just, listen, you haven't had a lot of draft picks the last couple of years for obvious reasons. You've got a bunch of guys who just patently aren't going to be here. Za'Darius won't be here next year. Or I'd be surprised if Za'Darius brought back on effectively a third 1-year contract.
Yeah.
Greg isn't going to be here long term. He's a really nice cornerback. Probably better than people in Cleveland get him credit for. I think his reputation around the NFL is better than what it is in Cleveland. He's not going to be here. Jed Wills, because you put this all on, it's an injury. You might be able to get something for Jed. Maybe it's not worth the comp pick you'd get if you didn't sign free agents, but Jed might have some value for teams looking for a left or right tackle. Wyatt, if you don't think Wyatt is, and I think, I'll be honest, I'll be furious if they trade Wyatt because I think he's one of your best football players.
Yeah.
And he actually is a football player, by the way. Like, he's not just, oh.
What are the other guys?
Well, no, some of these dudes are just, well, you look at your score, your whatever, the Q score, what is that, your score web, where the scouting web is, where there's like 8 factors that we judge you on. That's like half their picks. Like, my biggest gripe with Andrew is he hasn't brought enough football players in. Wyatt Teller's a football player. Don't trade football players. That's just me. High road, I'm off it now. But, like, I do think, like, anybody that you know, within a reasonable doubt, isn't going to be here next year. Sunday didn't change anything. Now, in fairness, you got a couple weeks to the deadline. So maybe Sunday plus another good Sunday and a commanding win over the Chargers. Yeah. Maybe it starts to change the tone, but in the reality
I think it will. The way that we've just, and we are, again, it's not like owners have so much more knowledge than any fan out there or anyone paying attention to us right now. If we're starting to change the narrative on some of the draft picks and some of the people that Andrew Berry have given a lot of money to, with, you know, based off of a win and based off of what happened on Sunday, I know that that's part of it. I know that part of the idea around Andrew Berry can be shifted. And I think the owner would be just as susceptible to that as anybody. Like, he's not Howie Roseman. He doesn't have 20 years to figure it all out. He doesn't have a long leash here to figure it out. I don't know. I don't know that I'm sold that he'll be the guy in charge to go ahead and take over next year and get it all figured out and situated. And that's where I think he's got to prove himself a little bit more.
But Cedric Tillman, like, who are the other guys you think help? Like, the guys that have been drafted here, that their stock helps Andrew Berry keep his job.
Yeah, I do. We talked about Cedric Tillman a lot today.
Yeah, but, like, what are the – because I was trying to go through them on my head. I couldn't
yeah.
think of
– Yeah. Like, I think
Diabate helps. I think
little things like even MJ Emerson playing better football is something that would drastically change perceptions of different draft picks.
DeJuan for sure. Great. Yeah, you're not trading any of those guys.
Newsom was still a pick of Berry. That counts, does it not?
Yeah, but they've already made the decision. I think it was Albert that said this. If they've picked up your 5th-year option, but they haven't extended you by now, that's telling you what they're going to do. Like, the only way they were going to extend Jed is if Jed suddenly found the fountain of relevance and decided he liked football enough to play for the entirety of the play. And by the way, that's not me saying it. They've said it. With Greg, the second they picked up his 5th-year option, and because they like to get out ahead of contracts.
Sure, yeah, sure.
They've had now, you know, four... Yeah, almost four full seasons.
But that is part of it,
together.
Too, is the justifying of some of the contracts that you've given out.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to justify Greg. You're at this point, getting a second-round pick for Greg is better than you shelling out $20 million for Greg. Because Greg is who
he
is.
No, but I'm talking about some of the other contracts that you've given out. I'm talking of, like, the Tomlinson stuff, little deals like that. I shouldn't say little deals. There was a lot of money attached to that.
He's not going anywhere.
Even little things like the amount of money you paid Conklin and extending him out when you did. Like, there's things that he has to... If they look better and they start to perform better, I'm talking like Thornhill even is another one of these guys. If they start to pay or start to play what their contract initially says they were worth... Like, that's a big feather in the cap of Andrew Berry. I think he gets judged off of all of this.
Yeah, but they can
By the time the season ends, he gets judged off of everything.
This is the cake and eat it too thing. This is why if Jack and DeJuan and said, and I don't know why I call him Seth, we don't know him that well, but if Cedric and
the
MJ,
whole roster is built on Andrew Berry.
If the guys that Andrew have brought in, if those guys perform well, whether you win or not, you can sell that. And
right.
This is
that's
the
why
cake
they have to perform well.
But this is the cake you need it too. That's not, we're talking about competing versus winning. And here's the thing.
I think if you're losing games, I think they're going to look bad.
Those, not necessarily.
Oh, well, more than not.
Like,
more
okay,
than not.
Okay, for instance.
And 1-6, a lot of those guys you're mentioning looked pretty bad.
Yeah, okay. But Kyle Hamilton catches the interception. You lose that game on Sunday. Does Cedric Tillman look any less impressive?
No, I'm not saying it's clear across the board. Does DeJuan? In a 1-6 stretch, a lot of people over time ended up looking bad in the process.
I think you're judging them off the first 7 games of the year. The next, so with Baltimore on, those 10 games matter more than the first 7 because the season's been written
off.
You
really sound like you've made up your mind on Andrew Berry one way or another.
Well, no, I just.
Or you think the Haslams have made up their mind one way or another?
Like, unless they.
I think the next few games does matter. I think the rest of the season matters in judging whether or not he keeps it.
I think if he has any chance of being fired, it's already been writ. Meaning, if he's going to get fired, it's because he wanted the Sean deal and he pushed for it. If Kevin's going to get fired, it's because they feel like he's the reason Deshaun came here and then didn't work out.
And that might end up being true by the time it's all said and done. That might end up being what it ends up, what it is. But if I'm Andrew Berry, I'm pushing to try to make every bit of this team look like the roster that was supposed to go deep into the postseason. And it just happened to be a Deshaun Watson problem. That's what it was.
By the way, giving playing time to DTR. What looks better for Andrew Berry? DTR goes out there and looks like a salient quarterback.
Well, DTR looking bad. It's both sides of the coin here. DTR looking bad would be just as bad as DTR going out there and looking good.
Yeah. Well, okay, but again, you're like, you don't need to hit on everyone. You need to say like, hey, look at these guys we played, and here are the guys who are good and bad. But we're still talking about the deadline and whether their route at the deadline should change. Nothing about Sunday told me that Za'Darius is going to still be here.
No,
meaning if there's a good offer.
No,
like, that's
I'm talking more about the idea that do you go for the number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5 pick overall? Are you playing for the get as many wins you possibly can and end up 20th overall in the selection?
I think it's the same conversation, right?
No,
I think you have to be competitive, but you don't want to win too many games. And I think you have to go ahead and trade the guys that have no business being here next year anyways, because you're just going to replace them with other one-year guys as you try and retool this thing and get as many picks as you can. I think Andrew Berry's job is to have his cake and eat it too. Kevin, well, you pretty much can only have your cake. I don't know what the other part of that
is. I don't know that Andrew Berry. I think the assumption is that Andrew Berry is trying to do what's in the best interest of the Browns next year. And I think it's not as easy just to say that's what he's doing and that's all it is. Because I really don't know. I don't know that he knows that he's going to be here next year.
216.
I think he's got to make some moves to make sure that he is there next year. And then he'll deal with it and work it out from there.
I bet you those dudes are more confident than you think.
Maybe they are. I would tell him right now he shouldn't be that confident.
Because here's the thing.
He should not be that confident.
Is the NFL is or...
5 years, one playoff win, you should not be that confident.
Yeah, they
you don't get to win 3 games and keep your job in the NFL.
I hate this defense. But it is what absolutely is in the back of both their minds. Either one of those guys gets fired by this organization, they get new jobs. And maybe better jobs tomorrow.
Yeah, like, and that might be right.
If Kevin gets fired, he's the head coach of Philadelphia.
That might be right, but just like J.B. Bickerstaff, sometimes you got to change names and get new people in there just because that's what you have to do.
Well, no. That's not a defense, but I'm saying you keep putting them in the mind of being, you know, living in fear. I don't think they're living in fear. I think they're made in the shade, and I think they know it. And I think they know right now Jimmy Haslam probably needs at least one of them. I think they know... Jimmy knows that he can't go full Jimmy because he's seen where full Jimmy gets him. And I think your job, if you're Berry, hey, this is just slight tweaks. This is let's get rid of the 1 year money. Let's take some of that savings into next year. Let's find the quarterback and it'll all be better. With Kevin's got to have something to show for it. 216-474-0092. Let's go with Jim in Parma. What's up, Jim?
I got to believe that both Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski will be there next year and probably maybe even through the length of their new contract. Stefanski was NFL Coach of the Year twice in 4 years. I'm sorry, but I just cannot believe that somebody who is that smart about football keeps playing a quarterback that is utter chaos back there, unless he was directed that you have to play this guy no matter what.
Let me ask you, Jim, do you think that the Browns know who made the decision to keep playing and who all the people are involved, meaning like the Haslams? Do you think the Haslams are acutely aware of whose decision it was to trade for him, who pushed to trade for him, and whose decision it really was to play Deshaun for X amount of games this year?
I think it was above Barry. It might be Paul DePodesta. It might even have been the Haslams.
Yeah, and it also might not have been. And they'll know.
But in reality, after 7 weeks, last Sunday, I saw a football team on the field that played NFL football. Now, I have a hard time believing that all of a sudden the offensive line came together and gave Winston plenty of time to throw the ball. I can't believe that all the different receivers that he threw to, all of them caught the passes. You know, I'm not going to say it was divine intervention or anything, but up until this
say it,
point,
Jim, say it.
Up until Sunday,
you want to say it.
Up until Sunday, the MVP of the Browns football team was Borquez, the punter.
Borquez, real quick, Jim.
Come on,
sorry, I had to do it.
I know. I know.
Yeah, Jim, we appreciate you, buddy. Because here's the thing. I didn't want to ask him a question because we got to kind of run here.
Where are we running to?
Right now, are you basic? If you're the Haslams, if you're everybody, are you judging enough? Seven games or one game? That's what really this comes down to. Not two-time coach of the year. That's a voting thing. That's a perceptional thing. You know Kevin more than those voters do. And I think, and same thing with Andrew, in fairness. 216-474-0092. Are the Browns still sellers at the deadline? Tom, Josh, Robert, Harry, Mickey, T-Boz, you guys next on 92.3 The Fan. But we're having the conversation. Are the Browns still sellers at the deadline? And should the Browns continue to try and win? And the reality is, I think the Browns should continue to try and be a competitive team. And I know that that's, like, that doesn't necessarily save Kevin Stefanski's job. Like, if I'm Jimmy Haslam, if you're the meddler of all meddlers, right? You're Bette Midler. It's a great joke that, like, 12% of the audience is going to get.
I think we all know. We know Bette Midler.
I don't think a lot of people do.
Does Jax know Bette Midler?
No, absolutely.
Not a clue.
Yeah.
You don't have a clue who Bette Midler is?
Why? He's 22-year-old
Wind beneath
boy.
My wings? That's the Bette Midler poll that I was going with.
Yeah,
you're very offended
not, yeah,
that that's
no
the
idea.
Bette Midler
yeah, but you've
poll.
You've seen Hocus Pocus. Come on, everybody's...
Well, okay, that like, actually is a little surprising. He hasn't seen Hocus Pocus. That would have been the only shot I gave him.
I thought she was like a national treasure, doesn't I? I just assumed everyone
yeah,
knew
she
who
was
Bette Midler 40 is.
40 years ago. Whew, that was... I realized...
You're going to get some letters from Bette Midler.
It left my mouth and I was like, ooh. Like, yeah, Beaches was 40 years ago, dude.
Beaches.
I was waterboarded with Beaches as a child.
I can't be the same person that's like Ferris Bueller Day Off was a really long time ago, and then be like, I'm shocked no one knows who Bette Midler is.
You mean a teen comedy versus a woman who was a?
No, they're both a long time ago. They're both a long time ago.
Yeah,
I just thought Bette Midler had more staying power than that.
She's
I don't
like,
know. Kayla agrees.
What was the last? Okay, God bless it. I can't believe. What was the last great thing Bette Midler's been in on?
Probably singing the final. Johnny Carson show episode. That's probably it.
1992.
Early 90s.
Right. Okay.
I think that's about it.
All
right.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just think that.
Singing her heart out to Johnny.
I think it kind of just proved the point there. And by the way, we've lost all of our audience for talking about Bette Midler for this long.
Well, you tried making a Bette Midler joke and then assumed that it was going to land.
Yeah. No. I just wanted that
hit
joke.
With me.
Listen,
it hit with me.
Some jokes are for the audience. Some jokes are for you.
I take it back.
And some are just for me.
Macaroni Midler on the Seinfeld episode is probably the last relevancy of Bette Midler.
So here's the problem. I grew up with an older sister, 15 months older than me. She loved Bette Midler. So when we shared a room, half of it, like one night I would have the jukebox to go to bed to, the next one she would. And I listened to so much Bette Midler. So much.
Is that why you're an emotional human?
I was waterboarded with Beaches like you would not believe. So
it's not waterboarded. That's just a good. That's just a good listen.
No, I was forced to watch it, and I. That's when I stopped growing as a human being. So all my problems are tied back to Bette Midler.
Okay.
There's really no way out of this other than to say, God bless Bette Midler. She's
I would love if that was your therapy session, by the way.
It's not far off.
Let's start with Bette, and then we'll go from there.
Like, all right, this is a picture of her in 1977 from Gypsy. What do we feel today? Now, getting back to things our audience might care about. Ron Warner on Twitter saying, how dare you say she was just in Hocus Pocus?
I wouldn't say a Ron Warner tweet, by the way, is things our audience cares about.
That is not what I said. I said Jax might know her best. That was our only shot, was Hocus Pocus.
It really was.
With Jax. And even that was a bridge too far. But to get back to the Browns, good God. I don't know how we started. I don't know how we got here. I just know it's not good. So let's take Robert in Brecksville because he'll save the show. What's up, buddy?
Oh, yeah, I will save the show. Let's change the topic. JP, does that shirt fit your kid yet?
Yes, it does. Thank you for sending that.
That is not saving the show.
What a beast of conversation you had because I wasn't paying attention.
It was very nice. It was very nice of you to send that.
Thank you
that shirt
for your
my
honesty.
Daughter.
The line here
says
there's
let's actually talk about sports.
Okay, let's get to that.
All right, so the one variable I haven't heard anyone on the station or anybody else bring up that would probably save Stefanski and Barry for at least...
By the way, Robert, when you say this, there's going to be... Yeah. We probably did an hour on it within the past week, and other shows have clearly addressed whatever you're about to say, and I have no idea what you're about to say, but go ahead.
All right. The thing that will save their jobs at least going into far enough into next season is it depends on how much of legal mess Bibb and Cleveland wants to make over the Brook Park site. I think Jimmy and D will be too distracted, let alone not necessarily distracted.
Okay, you're right.
But
no one said this.
Where they aren't going to really want to search for a head coach or a GM or both while they're trying to
Robert,
deal with
Robert, I love you. This might be the dumbest take I've ever heard in my life.
You're a fantastic human.
You're a good person.
It'll get him a few games going into next year.
No chance does that influence anything that the Browns do from a organizational standpoint. There's zero chance that happens.
Well, I mean, we could just sit and watch and wait and see what happens. I mean, it beats what you were talking about before you took my call. So
you don't have to get mean about it.
Man,
you don't have to get mean about it.
I think you got mean first, and I think he just responded with mean.
We're mean on mean right now,
Robert. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Robert.
Also. To go full My Cousin Vinny, another movie Jax has never seen. Everything that guy just said is BS. There's not a shot in hell. You think Jimmy Haslam?
That was the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard.
Jimmy Haslam is the equivalent, the football owner equivalent of Jameis Winston. All right? He's just a gunslinger.
I like it.
All right? Jimmy is best when Jimmy's shooting from the hip. And I'll be honest, Jimmy, this is my message to you.
The Leroy Jenkins of owners.
Everybody else is holding you back, kid. All right? You got to get out there and you got to start firing people. All right, you got the power to fire the mayor. I know you do. I've seen where your funding goes, but not just that. Not just politicians. Saddle up, Buckaroo, because you haven't forgotten how to fire people. And anyone trying to say it, listen, sounds like I'm rooting for him to fail. Rooting for him to fire people. That's not, I just would like there is if they go 3-14, there is. We've turned it into people just want to be in the club of smart analytical people, and they just want to wide variance. I've said that like 12 times this month. We can't just be at the whim of an owner. Yeah, that's kind of how America works, Jack. All right. So this idea that Jimmy is somehow reformed or changed. No, Jimmy's going
to
be Jimmy.
I do think Jimmy. I think he tried to change. And I think it's been 5 years, and that's a lot of patience for someone like Jimmy Haslam to not fire the head coach and to not fire the GM and to not fire everyone. And I think after 5 years, he's got nothing to show for it.
But, okay, with that...
And I think that's going to have him revert back to his old ways.
But I think...
Then you try the new thing, and if it works, that's now your deal. He gave it the old college try. It was legitimately 5 years, and didn't work. Hasn't worked.
But this is more me just trying to discredit what Robert said. The idea that Jimmy can't wage war on a hapless mayor and a hapless football team is just nonsense.
Oh, yeah. Billionaires have a lot of time on their hands. They can do multiple fights at the same time.
So I actually heard this description once about how the farther you go up the ladder in a corporation, the less decisions you have to make. But the decisions that you do make carry more weight because they're more consequential decisions.
Sure.
Jimmy's got like three. He's got like fire or do not fire, sue or do not sue,
build or don't build.
And I'll be honest with you, it's been like a week since he sued the city of Cleveland. Like, I mean, well,
didn't we think though? Like, I think what Robert's getting at is more the idea that we thought the crew was going to be enough of a distraction. We thought the Bucks would be enough of a distraction. There's no distraction. All he's ever done is focused in on the Browns.
Well, and
which
also
is fine. It's not the end of the world.
I was making a joke there about, you know, shooter's going to shoot Jimmy. You know, don't let these people talk you out of it. It's also not just Jimmy. D is very involved. JW is very involved.
Yeah.
I will say I don't really know this for a fact, but I'm assuming his daughters are super involved. I think the business people are super. I think everybody's super involved. So to speak in like, oh, Jimmy's going to be distracted. Yeah, Jimmy can be distracted and other people can't be. Like, there's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. For better or worse, it probably makes this conversation even tougher because what might appease Jimmy might not appease somebody else in that crew. And that's the ultimate variable that we don't really know about. And I just want to say ultimate variable.
Yeah. Robert also sent that shirt to my daughter like a year ago. At what point was he supposed to address that? That felt like an odd time for that, no?
So wait. Do you feel like the statute of limitations had passed on that?
That was a weird thing to lead with, was it not?
I mean, I liked it better than when he insulted us.
Yeah, he did insult us.
Yeah. And you insulted him first. And I just caught a stray, just sitting here being the sweet old smiley face.
Once he goes after
Nick Wilson.
No, he went after Bette Midler first, and I won't stand for it, Nick.
That's right. Everybody knows. You cross Bette Midler, you cross Jonathan Peterlin.
Right.
People have been saying it.
Right.
5 at 5 next on 92.3 The Fan.